If that sounds not too stupid.
Well, I'm going to ask you to explain it then. Go on.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents, where this week I'm delighted to be joined by a man whose team was unbeaten since Game Week 11 until he come to White Hart Lane. It's our Bournemouth correspondent, Neil Grover. How are you, Neil?
Doing well, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome, mate. And I'm joined by another man whose team have only lost once in the Premier League this season. That was also at White Hart Lane, but we're not allowed to talk about it. It's our Liverpool correspondent, Dan Lord. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about that one. I'll get it. Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Good stuff. Neil, in seriousness, jokes aside, you were pretty unlucky on Sunday from my viewing, and you've been on an astonishing run. Basically, the form team in the league, near enough. How are you feeling about the Cherries, mate?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an unbelievable turnaround since that pre-Burnley podcast we did where... we were talking about is he, you know, might he go? And then it obviously came down to an offside decision, basically, is from what we can gather. And now he's probably going to be in, at least in the discussion for manager of the month for back to back months, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. The football's really entertaining to watch. I hope, I mean, result aside, I thought Sunday's game was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good game.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I feel like I'm excited to go to watch Bournemouth again, which isn't something I don't think many Bournemouth fans have been for basically since Eddie left, really. It's a good time again to be a Bournemouth fan.
Good stuff. You mentioned the football's attractive. Is it? Or is it is it a positivity of results? And by the way, I do think you were attractive to watch on Sunday.
I think any fan, regardless of what style of football that is being played, that the one thing they want to see is sort of desire and sort of drive from their football team, which I think we've got in absolute spades. I think it's very clear that we want to play on the front foot, and some of our pressing. I mean, there were points again, I'm just thinking back to Sunday as it's the most recent game, there are points where you couldn't get out of your own box and we just couldn't score.
But the last 15 minutes of the first half was ridiculous.
Yeah, like I've never seen us dominate a team like that until, you know, recently. It was just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, and that's just exciting to watch, and you never know quite what's going to happen. I mean, there will be goals, whether or not it's in the right end for us or not. I mean, most of your goals came from exploiting that press. And that's fine. Like I can live with that. I can deal with us conceding if it means that we're interesting and we're trying to score and we're trying to be on the front foot and trying to be exciting. Plus the young nature of our squad as well means that there's a lot to want to root for. It's just going to get better and better. Hopefully anyway.
Yeah, and players obviously returning to fitness from injuries who we've kept talking about. It's going to basically be near enough all bar Tyler Adams now, isn't it?
Yeah,
after longer term ones.
Exactly. Traore is the only other one that's been long term injured.
Yes, that was a strange one, which we now know the reason for, wasn't it? It's obviously he's had malaria, the poor fella. So that's explained why he's obviously not been used a lot for you this season.
Correct.
Dan, we actually got a kind of a whiff of what Bournemouth might be really early in the season. Anfield, when they scored against you twice in the first 10 minutes or so, one was obviously disallowed, but they came with this high press. You obviously recovered and won the game, and they obviously went on this long bad run, but we kept saying that we felt that there was something there with this team. Did you take anything from the game earlier in the season and think that they would improve to the way that they have?
It's that long ago. I didn't, if I'm honest with you, but I have watched Bournemouth a few times, and I've been impressed. I always like these low teams who actually try and play regardless. There's nothing worse than these who just sit 11 behind the ball and hope for a counter attack. And actually, if teams go for it, they're in with a chance. And Bournemouth have proven that, regardless of who they've got on the pitch, a good system. will bring results, and it's proved the case for Bournemouth and Iraola.
Did you say that, Dan, though, because it's better for Liverpool to play a team that wants to do that rather than one that just wants to sit in like a Manchester United?
God, that was dire, wasn't it, that? Jesus.
Wasn't great, mate.
I think it was the worst game I've seen this season until I watched United play Forest, and then that was just as bad, I think.
But United Forest was worse that first half, particularly.
It's shocking. Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, it's always, you know, when teams have a go, they leave themselves open, you know, like they did with you. I watched the Bournemouth-Tottenham game at the weekend, and they did leave themselves open to the counter-attack, which is not something you want to do against Spurs and probably not something you want to do against Liverpool. But from a Bournemouth fan perspective, I'm sure it's more entertaining to have this and get beat 5-2 than hold on for a 1-0, a 2-0, or let's not get battered. I don't know. You know, it's probably refreshing, like Neil said, for a Bournemouth fan to have a bit of a different take on the way his team are playing football.
Are you aware, Neil, that I tipped you to beat us at the weekend?
I am. And it was the first game against a Big Six team where I've sort of been like, you know, we could get something here. And I tweeted at the weekend, I think if we play that game 10 times, we win probably more than we lose. But that's not to take anything away from you. I think you were very clinical, which is, you know, it's all you can ask for. But yeah, it was good.
No, I mean, I think by the end, we'd had the most of the XG, but quite a bit of that was in the last 20 minutes or so when you were chasing and such. So, no, really impressed. And I do think on a different day, yeah, there's every chance you would have won. Particularly, it didn't help you that we scored quite early. And we're obviously tired from Thursday night. It allowed us to sit off a little bit, which doesn't suit us, but then the onus was very much on you. I know you said the first time in a while, did you not tip yourselves to win at Manchester United back in December, because you came on the pod with Gary Robinson prior to that game, or are you just not taking Manchester United as a Big Six team anymore, mate?
Nah,
Dan's loving this.
No, you're right. I mean, I think that was more hope than anything, but I think this was the one where it was sort of like, actually, I feel quite good. When I was going down on the train, I was like, I feel good about this one. The Man U one, I think, was always going to be you know, let's have a go at them. They're there for the taking, and they were. I still, you know, looking back, I couldn't believe that it went that well. I don't think anyone thought it would be. I mean, 1.4-0, you know. So okay, it got ruled out, but I think all of our fan base had many screenshots of 4-0 on the Man U, on the Old Trafford scoreboard.
What is that for? With respect to a club like yours to win like that at Old Trafford, what does that mean?
I think you would. There's a real argument that that is our biggest win ever as a football club, because we've never won a cup. Well, outside of the Football League trophy in the 70s or something,
pizza cup.
Yeah. So to go to a Big Six club and win at their place, I think the only other real contender would be one of the Chelsea results. Perhaps sure, the Chelsea game in the first season,
the
Glenn Murray goal, yeah, or perhaps where we beat them at our place 3-0, something like that.
Beating 4-0 one night, I remember. Or,
yeah, that was it. Yeah. So those are the sort of games that we're talking about in terms of games that fans will remember in 20 years' time, and until we, you know, match that with a cup final or something, I think these are the sort of games that our fan base will remember.
Who have you got in the cup at the weekend?
QPR away.
Going?
Yes. Looking forward to it.
Is that important? Because I always criticise, with respect, clubs like yours who tend to rock up FA Cup third round, change the old team and go out. And I'm like, what is your... You're safe now, aren't you? You're in no danger of going down. Go for this, right?
Yeah, you're leading me down a path there.
You're on 25 points, Neil. You're going to be fine, mate, honestly.
This is going to be clipped in May, isn't it? But no, yeah, I think we have to go for it. And one of my biggest criticisms of Eddie, and I, you know, absolutely adore the bloke, as many Bournemouth fans do, he just didn't... Like, there was a couple of years in the middle of that five-year period where we were safe at a similar sort of time and we just rotated and didn't try. I think we've got to go for it. I think it's going to be a cracking game for us as well. There's a couple of players that I'm hoping to see in the QPR team that are ex-Bournemouth, Steve Cook most notably, that we didn't get to say sort of, you know, a proper goodbye to. He's was part of that sort of legendary Bournemouth defence and left during COVID. So we never really got a chance to say bye to him. But I think, yeah, we've got to go for it. I think Iriola does go for it. Generally in the Cups, he's got a record of taking teams deep in these competitions. So as long as we don't end up drawing, you know, hopefully if we get through on Saturday, we don't end up drawing City away or something, which is normally our luck in these sort of situations, then we've got, you know, we should go for it.
You'll remember who knocked you out of the League Cup this year, I presume.
Yep. And actually, I don't think we played too badly from memory.
Dan, I've read reports today, and we should clarify just in case we are pre-recording this on Wednesday night. I have read reports today that it's likely to be a heavily rotated team at Arsenal on Sunday in the FA Cup. How would you feel about that if that's the case?
I think it'll be kind of half and half. I mean, what is a rotated team these days? I mean, we've got a lot of people you could question. Are they good enough for the starting 11? So actually, when they come into the team, is it a downgrade that much? Unless they're playing kids, I'm not sure. Obviously, you've got your Van Dijks, your Alissons, your Salahs, who've got to play every single match. But other than that, and Trent, should I say, but other than that, the rotation there anyway from week to week.
That's so, probably the signifier, isn't it? Like Kelleher probably would play in goal anyway, I would guess, because he normally does play in the Cups for you.
Yeah.
But I think if Trent and Van Dijk are maybe not in the team, that's probably the one. You are right. The rest of the team almost, you could choose from the front six, if you will, from sort of 8 or 9 or 10 options, subject to fitness. But I think, yeah, if Trent and Van Dijk weren't in the team, that's the one that will cause a few questions, I think.
Yeah, a couple of the kind of cup games, the last Europa Cup game, he played Virg, which was a bit of a surprise, you know, when we'd already won it. But I think he gave him a game with Quansah in that game before he picked him in the league with him as well. And he might do that. I mean, are Arsenal going to rotate as well? Probably not. I don't know. I'm not bothered.
I think the difference being is obviously you've got the League Cup semi-final next Wednesday, haven't you? So yeah. That's the difference. Whereas Arsenal, after they play, you don't play for 2 weeks. You've got another game on Wednesday. Then you've kind of got your own break. So I think that's probably where the logic's coming around, that Arsenal will probably go stronger than you on Sunday. You're very much in this title race, aren't you, Dan? Admit it now, pal.
I mean,
3 points clear.
On paper, we are. I'm still not convinced.
Is it the low XG against Newcastle that causes the concern? Or?
I mean, Newcastle, are, legs have gone though, aren't they? I mean, you've got to feel for them.
No, I do a bit, in fairness.
I think a normal Newcastle team in a normal circumstances don't give up that many chances. So I think that's kind of overinflated, is that XG that we had on that day. I think it was just one game too many for Newcastle. Although we keep saying that for Newcastle, it's one game too many. So, you know, they have used the same kind of 11 or 13 for the last kind of 12 months, and now it's catching up with them. And, you know, you can't do it forever, and hence all the injuries. So I think it doesn't paint a true picture, that XG against Newcastle. That's unusual. We're in it because we're top of the league, but I still don't think we're good enough.
But you've lost once, Dan, and there's a kind of a massive asterisk next to the one loss as well.
I know, and this is where it's a little bit weird, because is it just the standards dropped off a little bit this year? You could argue, or other teams got better. I don't know. We've been fortunate in only the one loss. I can't. You know, there have been several games where Alisson's played a blinder and kept us in it, or, you know, made a really important save at a crucial point of the game. I don't know, we're just ticking away, really. We just wanted improvement on last year. It was a brand new midfield, and we've got that, and we've made steps, and I don't think anyone expected to be in this position. So actually to be considered in a title race was like, well, we'd have been happy with top four at the start of the season. So it's, I suppose we've been there, seen it, done it, and challenged the last few years. So we've got that experience in the squad to go on and do it. I just didn't expect to be in this position, I don't suppose.
It's amazing how quickly the narrative changes, right? At the moment, it's like pole position for Liverpool, but only go back two games. You've drawn two home games in a row, admittedly against strong opponents in United. It's a derby game, basically. And then obviously, Arsenal, what I thought deserved the point on the night, to be honest. They lose twice. You win two games you would expect to win, Burnley away, and then a fatigued Newcastle at home. Suddenly, there's a little gap, and there'll be some making you favourites at this point, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, how bad have City been? And how many points are they behind? Is it 4 points?
They're five behind you with a game in hand. Well, it's nothing, basically.
And how bad have they been? You know what I mean? They've not even started yet, haven't City? So, yeah, I still say City, you know.
But there may be neither of you.
Well, I mean, if you think of teams, I mean, last year I thought Arsenal overachieved. That's why I didn't think they'd be as good this year. And we've overachieved so far this season, where City have not achieved at all. They've not played well really at all yet. So all it takes them to click into gear, get De Bruyne back, Haaland back fit, and you know, that's suddenly that 2 points after the game in hand is eating away a couple of poor results, and it's back in the hands of the people who know how to do it.
Neil, how do you see the title race? The neutral? I presume you're ruling yourselves out. I know you're on a good run, mate.
Well, yeah. I'm afraid I think we probably aren't going to be competing this
Left
year.
Left it a bit late.
yeah, a little bit late on the charge there, but yeah. I mean, I see it as a three-horse race, like most do. I think you just can't rule City out, and like you said, I mean, it's just going to take Haaland to come back, and bear in mind he's missed these very congested fixtures. Obviously, they're not really losing. Are they losing anyone to AFCON?
City, no one.
Whereas you're losing your talisman. Okay, there's not a huge amount of fixtures, but he's probably going to miss, what, two or three? Us, and then presuming Egypt go deep, it's another couple, right? So that could be the gap gone, right?
Yeah, Neil raised a very good point there, Dan. How big of a miss is Mo going to be over this period, which I guess is most likely to be four games in terms of Premier League games.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I don't think he'll be that big of a miss, if I'm honest. His goals are always a miss, but I think we'll just adapt to play a little bit differently without him, and probably in some ways we'll be better, if that sounds not too stupid.
Well, I'm going to ask you to explain it, Dan. Go on.
Well, I think he offers very little defensively on that side, so he leaves Trent wide open. I think having a right-sided midfielder, whether he goes with Elliot, Szoboszlai's injury pending, whether he plays on the right, it almost gives Trent more of a license to get more forward, because then you know you've got a right-sided kind of player, whether it's the right-sided centre midfielder or the right winger, who is actually going to come back and help out. Where, you know, Salah does it, but not how you would. I mean, he's better going the other way, isn't he? So you don't really want him to come that deep. You want him to give the fullback something to think about and think, oh, actually, I'm not going, because if I go, I'm going to get burned. So I think from that point of view, it kind of makes other people, it brings other people into the game a bit more.
So you think it's as likely that it will go with, say, an Elliot as a replacement in that Salah position, rather than, say, put Jota there, who's someone who's no weak, he can obviously play across the front three, and would be, I don't want to say like for like, because you can't even do that with anyone with Mo Salah, but I suppose a natural forward thinking offensive player like Jota would be more of a like for like than an Elliot, if you will.
Yeah, Jota would be more like for like. I always think Jota looks uncomfortable on the right, though, if I'm honest. He can play left and he can play centre, but on the right, I don't think it suits him very well. But we'll see. I don't think it suits Diaz either. Nunes potentially could go there. I think the idea would be Elliot. I think Elliot deserves a chance. Whenever he's come in, he's done really, really well. And, you know, he's probably been biding his time and said, you know, when Salah goes, I'm going to have a real shot at it. And I hope he gets that shot. He's a different player completely, but we'll just change the way we play a little bit, I suppose.
Salah in your squad, Dan? Gone? where you're at with him at the
moment. He was. I changed him ahead of deadline. I don't know why. It's not like I was chasing any monies or anything. I'd moved Bowen in for Salah kind of ahead of the game yesterday.
Ouch. Neil, Salah in or gone?
He's in. He will be gone. I'm just waiting to see what happens over the next couple of days. Get a little bit more information. Okay, well, I'll lose a couple of points, but I value information over the odd point.
Anyone you got in mind?
I think Bowen in particular, because
Dan feels better now. Cheers.
I'm
I think he's a must. I think he's a must. He's playing centre forward and he's got to be in, hasn't he?
Yeah. But I've also got Son, so I've got a little bit of thinking to do around what I do next.
Yeah, same. Got both. I guess the obvious point here is to ask, most of us are certainly, at least in Salah's case, going to want him back. Is there, I guess, Dan, anything from your team that we should be looking at as, right, stick this guy in from Liverpool while Salah's away? Or is that not the case?
I wouldn't kind of say it with such certainty that this player is, you know, definitely get him in. If I was to have a punt on anyone, or if I do have a punt on anyone, it'll probably be Jota. I just think he's the goal scorer. He's the most natural goal scorer in the whole team, more so than Salah, in my opinion. But I don't know how many minutes he's going to get.
That's it, isn't it? Because I think with the makeup of the four, let's call them forwards who are left, Diaz, Gakpo, Nunes and Jota, I feel like they could, certainly Diaz is best from the left and we know he can play on the right, but all of them could play on the left. They can probably all play on the right, but all of them would be more comfortable on the left. And there's three of them can certainly play as the nine as well. So I get the thinking of what you're saying about an Elliot maybe taking up that role. Now, if Elliot takes up that role, you're looking at Jota sharing the minutes with the two other attackers and it's sort of been two in, two out, for example. That would then feel like not enough minutes would be the concern. And it could be hit and miss, right? Where you get, right, Jota plays Arsenal, Fulham, then doesn't play Bournemouth in the league, doesn't play Chelsea, then plays Fulham, Arsenal away. And like, oh, great. That's helpful. He does feel like it could be something like that.
Yeah, it's too tricky to navigate and the upside of it is not worth the risk, I wouldn't have thought.
Neil, any of them Liverpool players under consideration? I suppose here specifically, we're looking at Jota and Diaz, really.
I think, like you say, it's too much of a gamble on one of them. Like, unless you know for like that one of them's going to start. I mean, well, again, we'll have a bit more perhaps information after the FA Cup games in that we'll have seen who played 90 minutes. It's maybe not that one that plays against us, but we'll see. I've got plenty of time to think about it, I think, for me.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think if you win at Arsenal, Dan, that potentially makes the idea of getting a Liverpool player a little bit more interesting, not necessarily to cover for Salah, but for someone to have with him when he comes back, because that would certainly increase the likelihood, I think, if you obviously beat Fulham as well, to have that Luton game in game week 26 brought forward to game week 25. Now, suddenly, if you had, say, Salah is back for 24 and you got Burnley at home and then a double in 25 with Brentford away and Luton at home, we need to be looking at treble Liverpool, surely, if that's the circumstance. So you're going to tell me, Dan, Salah, Trent and...
Jota for me.
Jota.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, Neil? I mean, what would you feel if that was the circumstance? You're looking at Burnley at home and then a great double game week afterwards as well, potentially for Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, you want three there, right? Like, I mean, I've got Trent and I would want Salah, and then it's just pick your poison, right, with what's left and where the funds lie.
What's interesting for a lot of people, I think, Dan, is that a lot of people have obviously, this part me as well, because of the Haaland injury, had Trent in knowing that I've not got to have Salah and Haaland together for a while. And a lot of it, well, maybe use that Trent money to go back to Salah. Well, if that's the case, that circumstance, which could happen, you ain't selling Trent, are you? Are you on Trent at the moment, Dan?
Yeah, I've been for a few weeks now. He's been... it was a bit like a Pedro Porro. He was, you know, they weren't even keeping clean sheets and he was still in the bonus. So it was just like, I can't keep missing this, because all it takes is for a goal and a clean sheet. And then suddenly it's a massive haul, isn't it? And like you said, we had the money, so it was like, I may as well just, I upgraded Tsimikas, I think, to Trent is where I went with my money.
I guess this is it, though, isn't it? Once Salah and Haaland are both back and firing, that's when a debate will come back about whether Trent's worth that money or not. But he's going to be, I think, really hard to cut if that double scenario happens. There's no way you could, I don't think.
He just seems to get in and around the goals all the time, doesn't he? He's never, you know, it's not like sometimes he's quiet the whole game, or he looks like he wouldn't score in a month of Sundays. And then, you know, even like at half time at the weekend, you know, he'd missed the penalty and all the non-Salah captainers were getting giddy. And then, you know, what does he do the second half? A couple of assists and another goal, and it's all over, isn't it?
You do also, Dan, have the best defensive record in the league at the moment. Does it feel like it?
Yeah, I've been saying for a while. I think Virg, you know, he got loads of stick, and the last time I came on and the time before, I think he's back to his best. I think
he's been really good this season. Good.
And then whoever's partnered him, whether it's been Matip, or even Gomez and Konate and Clancer, they've all done really, really well. And we look, I mean, we're still vulnerable down the right hand side when Trent goes missing and has to defend. Down the left now, I'm happy that we'll never get exploited while Gomez is there. He won't offer as much going the other way, but at least no one's going to beat him for pace or anything like that. He's a good, solid defender. And then we don't know how long Robertson's out, but according to Klopp last week, he did say that it's going to be a while still.
Not this month, he said, wasn't it? I think to be specific. So we'll probably ruin him out till, I mean, admittedly, that could only be two more FPL weeks, but game week 23 at the very earliest, I'd suggest probably looking at more like maybe that sort of 25 double. But with that
and
in
then
mind,
you've got Alisson behind them, and then you've got Alisson behind them as well. So, you know, there is a reason why we've got a good defensive record, because I bet the XG against us is not the lowest, that's for sure.
With that in mind, I mean, I agree with you. I think Jota would probably be the one I'd want to punt as third Liverpool asset, but we might be in a situation where Son's back, Bowen's firing. If Saka's firing again, it becomes awkward if people want to go into that late. Would you consider a second Liverpool defender? Like, could people consider something like a Konate, for example? It's cheap.
I wouldn't go Konate. At the moment, I'd go Virg, obviously. And I think with Konate, you're not... I think he's going to be in and out. And with Kwanzaa, he seems to be getting his minutes. I think Gomez is probably the safest bet until Robbo's back.
Do you think that's part protection, Konate, where actually he's going to be quite important? So they might look at the odd games like Burnley at home, Luton at home with respect and go, yeah, we'll play Kwanzaa with Van Dijk.
I think it seems that way because he has been quite injury prone. And, you know, once he's put four or five games together back to back, he then misses two or three with some kind of niggle or something. So I think it's important to have that. There's a lot of speculation that if Liverpool do bring anybody in the January window, it will be another defender. They've kind of recalled Williams from his loan, but I think that's just really as backup.
Is that the lad from Dundee?
Did he go to...
It's a left-back that they've recalled from Dundee.
Somebody else. I'm talking about he was at Blackpool. Is it Reece William? You know,
Okay. Played a bit with Nat Phillips when you had that car crash a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because of the Matip injury and obviously Gomez having to play out left. They're just a little bit light. All it takes is one injury or something and you know, we're up against it, really. So there's talk of a centre-half being brought in as well, if anybody. But then the people really in the know don't reckon they're going to make any moves whatsoever throughout January, so who knows? Okay.
Owen Beck is the left-back from Dundee. Yes. He's made 20 appearances for them this year. He's 21, so he's not a baby, so we might see him involved in the squad. You certainly need some cover there with the Robertson-Tsimikas situation. Neil, have you given any thought to game with 21 captaincy yet?
Not really. My first priority is work out what I'm doing with Son and Salah, and then seeing where I sit from there and kind of making a go from there. I mean it's not great option wise, right?
No, we've gone from like having 8 or 9 brilliant options this week to looking at 21 and going, Dan's frantically, I think, pulled up the fixtures to have a little glimpse for himself.
Yeah. I'm just wondering who I've got it on. I've got it on Saka at the moment, home to Palace.
I've got the same, but it feels...
That's what I've got.
Yeah, so all of us, okay. It feels a bit meh at the moment.
There's nothing that sticks out, is there, that says you've got to attack that game, really?
Not really, no. So, Dan, Trent?
What, home to Bournemouth?
Well, away to Bournemouth.
Away to Bournemouth, sorry. I can't see Bournemouth not scoring, if I'm honest. So...
Neil was violently, aggressively nodding, by the way, for the benefit of the audio. This is like, yeah, we'll score against them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. It's a punt, in my opinion. Like you say, it is slim pickings, but I think I'd rather go a City player away at Newcastle than
Yeah, but even that, subject to Haaland and De Bruyne, that's now complicated. Like, what if the two of them are like maybes to be back? The other thing that obviously complicates your fixture a little bit, not that it should overly matter unless either you draw in the FA Cup and have a replay, but obviously it's not the opening weekend, right? It's the second weekend of the game week, so you're waiting a long time as well. So if you do captain Trent Alexander-Arnold, please do vice captain someone who's playing on the first weekend, would be the recommendation. Neil? So Dominic Solanke then?
I was just to cover off the Trent piece, the last time we didn't score was 7th of October against Everton. So that's quite a few games.
Yeah, okay. But Alex Scott, as I've heard, is a Tottenham fan anyway, so we scored four on Sunday. You didn't really score, mate.
Well, we gave you the first one. That was a freebie.
Yeah, maybe the two tackles we won might have helped as well, to be fair. Yeah. But is that a ridiculous call? Solanke at home to Liverpool?
I think, I mean, he would... Again, I hate to say it again, but on another day, he pulls against you, right?
Absolutely, like, absolutely.
He's still, you know, and he's going to be rested, I suspect, on Saturday. So he's going to have a little bit of a rest, which will be doing, you know, I'm sure the world of good because, you know, we've kept a very similar 11 recently. So it's not totally ridiculous, but I'm not going to be shouting from the rooftops to, you know, Captain Solanke against Alisson, right?
No, fair. How good's he playing though, mate?
He's looking like the player that I think we all thought he was.
But it's taken a very long time to find.
But development takes time sometimes, right? I mean, look at Vardy. He didn't, you know, he wasn't a dissimilar age when he started to really roll, right? So, the player has been there. I think some of the system hasn't suited him. He's been a little bit deprived recently of service. I mean, he showed it in the Championship that he still had that finishing quality. And then, you know, the past couple of systems, he's had to maybe drop deeper to try and come and fish for the ball and try and create himself. Whereas now he's got, you know, quality balls coming into him that he can do his thing with. And I think the interesting thing for me as well is he's added heading. Like, some of the goals against Forest, those were proper, you know, strikers heading finishes, right? They weren't like a little flick or anything. So he's clearly, you know, he's really rounding off as well. And I think it's going to be a bit of a nervous January because of that. I think there's going to be at least someone that comes in with a bid for him. I don't think we'll blink. And in fact,
I'm waving for the benefit of the audio listeners because, yeah, maybe we might need a new number nine.
I think it's 80 million plus, right?
How much?
I mean, 80. It's got to be, right?
No, how much did you pay Dan's team for him?
Well, the chant is 20 million. I think it was a touch more than that. But we've got to pay them out of some of it.
What is it? 20 million down the drain. Dom Solanke scored again. Is that the one, yeah. Is it? Yeah. Dan, you obviously had him. What was your thoughts on him? It was very difficult for him at the time because you had the famous front three up front together.
Yeah, I think it was... he was Chelsea before that, wasn't he? And
yeah.
I mean, for Chelsea to see something in him and Liverpool to see something in him, then he's got something about him, hasn't he? you know, for them two clubs to kind of show an interest. It was a weird one that we picked him up at the time. Was it a deal with somebody else? I want to say it was kind of part of a different...
Maybe.
I think it was
part of a deal that he ended up coming with us.
Wasn't buy one Mo Salah, get another one free, was it, or something?
No, it was after that one, wasn't it?
But, Chelsea fans.
I can't remember. I don't think he ever got a fair crack of the whip, if I'm honest, at Liverpool. So it's difficult to say. I've always been impressed whenever I've seen him. He's a handful for defenders. And he's a good player. I'm not sure if he is good enough for one of these top six, but he's certainly Premier League standard for sure.
Yeah, I am aware Chelsea fans as well that Liverpool bought Mo Salah from Roma. Neil, yeah, Dan asked a good question though. Good enough, do you think? Like, if Tottenham bought him, or Arsenal keep getting linked with forwards, they need one. I mean, would he be good enough to go into the Arsenal team, for example?
I don't see why not. I mean, I'm watching him mature. As I said, he's got everything that you want to see in a striker of that sort of ilk. Like, he can hold the ball up. You know, that's been his game for quite some time. He's developed a sort of a finishing and a real clinical edge to his game. And the sort of that swagger that, you know, really top strikers, they always just have something about them. You know, some of his little flicks and those sort of goals, he's got that. He's now added heading in as well, as I said. And he's really unselfish in terms of he will battle off the ball. You will see him in and around our 6-yard box when we're defending a corner, and all of that really good stuff that you want to see from that sort of player. And I think the only thing that he's really lacking for one of these big clubs to really come and knock on our door is probably a 15 plus goal season in the Premier League, which I think he's easily going to do this year.
Yeah, he will.
So I think once he's got that on his CV, I mean, what more, you know, as fans of big clubs, I mean, what more would you want to see from a player? And he's, let's not forget, he's English as well. I know that's not a massive thing nowadays, but it helps quotas and all of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does. And that's why you'd be a premium if you're buying someone like him. Yeah. You know, similar would apply to sort of Ivan Toney from Brentford at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think he's not an unknown to me, even from his youth. Wasn't he a player at a tournament for the England's under-20 team? Won the World Cup, I think, which people forget because it was Dominic Calvert-Lewin that actually scored the winning goal in the final. But he'd scored loads in that tournament, if I remember correctly.
I want to say he was player of the tournament, I want to say, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think he was, mate, yeah.
Him and Lewis Cook, which, funny how things work out in football.
I'm a Solanke owner at the moment, Neil. I'm going to assume you are. This is FPL, yes. Obviously. Dan?
Yeah, as well, yeah.
Yeah? Are we all happy to keep him? Because... it's worth saying, Neil, this is a tough run coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's not unfair. But, you know, if anyone, he's going to be in and around there. He's going to be on the, he's going to be in the mix. We know he's on penalties now, joking aside. And he's in form. Like, sometimes all you want is a player that's just hitting stride. And there's a lot to be said for that. And it doesn't really matter where we're going or who you're playing. A striker that's in form and is getting the supply that he's getting, particularly when, you know, we're engaging so high up the pitch, like, he's going to get chances. It doesn't matter if we go to Old Trafford or we go to Craven Cottage, he's going to get chances to score.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's talisman. You could lose 3-1 at Liverpool and he scores, and that does the job, isn't it?
And then there's the 6 points.
Yeah, quite agree. I've got an awareness of those fixtures, though. I've also got an awareness that you've obviously got a game to rearrange with Luton yourselves, and that could go in absolutely anywhere. And wherever it goes, you'd want him. I mean, imagine it suddenly dropped into 23 and it was Forest at home and Luton at home. It'd be everybody's captain, wouldn't he, I think? Mm-hmm. Despite the fact Haaland would have Brentford, you'd have to do it, I think.
Be a spicy week as well. Be a bit emotional.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've you weren't there, were you?
I wasn't at that one, but I made a point to that I want to go to the replay, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Yeah, no, I've been through similar with obviously Fabrice Moramba, as I've covered previously, and yeah, it will be for both teams, and the people was there obviously first time around. It's really good to hear. Obviously Tom Lockie is doing really well. Should we, Neil, be considering any other Bournemouth assets at the moment? Can we look at something rogue here to replace Salah or Sonny, like Cliver or Sinisterra or Billing or Tavernier?
So I think it's going to be an interesting time, because obviously Semenyo has gone to AFCON and he's playing for a team. I don't have the best knowledge of African football at the moment, but I would expect Ghana to go fairly deep. So I think he's going to be gone for quite some time. I would say with Tavernier, at the moment, we don't have a left back, because Dango Ouattara has been deputising at left back.
And done really well, by the way.
Fantastic. You wouldn't have known on the
did
weekend.
Really well.
But he's gone to AFCON or is injured, one of the two, because obviously he went off hurt on Saturday. So I can see Tavernier dropping deeper as a result. He has played wing back for us before, and that's actually kind of what I thought would happen before Dango suddenly became a left back. So I think the two options there, if you want one of those, are Cliver or Sinisterra. Brooks, who is another player that people might think of, is linked with a championship loan, which I think is more than reasonable. He hasn't had enough football recently and probably needs to, pick that up again. So I think the interesting one for me, actually, and I don't have his price, is Sinisterra. He's a known quantity to players, right?
But he's not a known starter for Pape, is he?
No, but I think he will over the next few. If you want a player while, while AFCON is going on, he's the natural to play on that left side, I would have thought.
I think if we had something like the Luton game was announced for a certain game week over this period before 21 starts, then suddenly these guys will be on our radar. I think to throw in, obviously, Aarons went to left back, obviously, against my team at the weekend. I would have thought he'd just shove Adam Smith that side because he played there before. So I was a bit surprised about that.
Yeah. Smith's having a renaissance at the moment anyway. And whatever he's doing, it's working on right hand side. Okay. I've always thought he isn't so great on the left. Like, he's, more than good, more than passable on the right, but the left, he's just not quite as good for whatever reason. And Aarons, I don't know what his history is at left back, but I think it was more just a, what do we do here? So it wouldn't surprise me if we maybe see like Aarons and Tavernier maybe on that as the fullbacks, but yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't expect to see Aarons long-term there.
The other thing you obviously could do over this period, now Alex Scott and Lewis Cook are both back fit, you could move Ryan Christie further forward again, right?
Don't like that. So
okay. No, I know he's been playing really well deep.
I would do it the other way around. I would move Scott forward.
Okay, yep.
So I think Christie, for whatever reason, he's found his little thing that's working for him. So I would play, another option would be that you move Cliver back out wide and move Scott through the middle.
Yeah, okay, but then that's going to threaten on Sinisterra, isn't it, as well?
It is. I just think we've got him for a reason, and he's got that quality. This is the reason you have a player like that, is to cover this sort of gap.
Yeah, I get that. He could easily be, couldn't it, shove Cliver out one side, Tavernier the other side, Aarons and Smith as your fullbacks, move Scott forward into the 10, or even play Billing as well. There are multiple options in there. So if I said to you, Neil, right, buy one of them midfielders or buy Harvey Elliott, where's your money going?
I think I would buy one of ours, but that's just because of my own biases. Plus, at home, when you're not sure, back the home dog.
Surely here, Dan, the answer is neither, and go Curtis Jones.
Probably. I'd be tempted with
your face, mate.
Well, I wouldn't go Curtis Jones because, again, he'll just get rotated in and out, as will Ivy Elliott. At least with Bournemouth, a few of them guys are going to feature, aren't you? Pretty much 90 minutes in all the matches. If I was to have a punt, I'd have a punt on Sinisterra. I think he's the guy who likes to get a shot away. He's very direct. I saw that at Leeds, and when they got him from Dutch football, I think, didn't they? Did Leeds?
Yes, that's right.
I think he scored a handful of. I know
Bible, I think, from memory.
Yes, he played with Senesi there, which is just another interesting how things work in football.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I think I'd have a punt on him, but I've also liked Alex Scott, the games I've seen of him. He's got that creativity, hasn't he? He's got that little bit. I don't know if he'll get you many goals, but he'll be you know, creating chances.
I really like Curtis Jones, Dan. I've said that a number of times recently. I thought it was really good Monday night again as well. Around all the madness that was going on, I think his performance went well under the radar. I think he should be in the next England squad.
I mean, he was one of the standouts in the under-21s when they did so well. He's a good player. And I've always just thought he just needed to get to that next level. And because there is another level, I think, for him. He's extremely confident on the ball, really, really comfortable with the ball, left foot, right foot, doesn't really matter. Good close control. He doesn't give it away very often. He has got a few goals recently, but it's not really his game. I think that he's better as like a 68 more than an attacking midfielder, I would say.
I think he's really tactically aware. Really tactically aware. I mean, you can play him in a number of positions. You could even shove him left forward, I think, and have him rotate with a number 8 runner.
Yeah. He has played left forward. Yeah, he's a clever footballer. And to be fair, it's a makeup of what Klopp likes of his players. Elliot is a clever footballer as well. You know, some of these players that they have that, you know, the system, they actually play the system very well. Even Endo started to play well. I know he's gone now, but he is a clever footballer as well.
Briefly will he be?
I don't know. I mean, McAllister's back now. I suspect that him and Jones will play the six. I prefer Jones in the six, if I'm honest. But you know, there's so many options in there. They change it around all the time. Gravenberch could play. I mean, I've always said that Endo's not really a six. That what he does do as a six,
he wins it back well, doesn't he?
But yeah, he's always available for a pass as well. He's always available. He doesn't shy away from the ball. He always wants the ball, and that's what you want of your defensive midfielder, to come and get it off the centre backs and the full backs. He will never shy away, and he can take it left side, right side. He's good with both feet. But what I've said time and time again, what we're crying out for is a destroyer to get the ball back when we don't. And he's not that kind of player still. He still really isn't. As much as he's done all right, he just fouls people, really, just to break up the play instead of actually getting the ball back.
It sounds like we need to look elsewhere for our enablers. But I think, again, if we had something that suggested double game weeks, these guys would become really interested in hot topics quite quickly. I think actually, particularly from your team, Neil. To be honest, it would be quite quickly like, oh shit, which one are the enabling Bournemouth? And it does sound ridiculous to be talking about these guys as potential Salah Son replacements. But if you're someone like me, who's got Salah Son selling, got Trent, need to find the money to Haaland, also an awareness that I want to get the two players potentially back, you need to start stripping the money somewhere, and these guys have come under consideration. One more for you, Neil, before we finish. Marcus Enesai obviously will be suspended. Against Liverpool now, having got his fifth yellow card. How big of a blow is that for the game specifically?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. The two sort of ever-presents for us this year have been Senesi and Zabani as centre-back. And I'm a big believer that your centre-back, you set and forget your centre-back pairing if you can. The deputy for it, I mean, is probably Meppham.
Subject, who, I guess, Lloyd Kelly's fitness.
I'm working on the assumption Lloyd Kelly's gone.
Is that a contract this summer, isn't he? I know my team has been linked.
I think we sell him this window.
I mean, being the fact that he's injury prone certainly falls right into the Tottenham criteria of buying a player.
I'm not totally convinced he's injured at the moment, but
oh, okay. You think this might be like another one of the was it Zamora?
Transferitis. There's a few of them, unfortunately, over the years.
okay.
But
come on, do that pod on Patreon with sometimes. Do spill the beans.
Oh, happily. But yeah, I wonder if there's if that's what it is. I don't have any information, but it's just a bit coincidental, I think. So that would mean it's either Meppham or it's Hill, who we've just are about to recall from Blackburn, who I gather has been doing very well.
Okay.
But that's a big loss.
prediction with that in mind. I set you up there to save yourself. Go on.
You know me. I can't predict us to lose. So I'm going to predict 2-1 to us.
Dan?
I'd say 3-1 Liverpool.
Yeah, it feels goalsy. It feels goalsy. I think that's
Neil said with the missing them centre halves when you're so used to your centre back pairing, just to lose that for just even one game. You know, when you're so used to it, it's not like Liverpool where they change it often. You know, when you've had the same two for a long while, and I'm not a big fan of Meppen, and I don't know who this Hill guy is, so that kind of fills me with a bit of confidence, if I'm honest.
1-0 goal Hill assist.
So what we've learned there is by Hill. Sinisi's a massive lot. I spent the whole like last 5-10 minutes or whatever it was after the game was gone on Sunday being like, don't get booked.
Yeah, it was the last game for him as well. It's not the only player that's happened to. Yeah, that will be a blow for the Liverpool game. There's a lot of people who actually have him at the moment, because he obviously went that little goal scoring run. I don't suppose people were intending to start him against Liverpool anyway, so there's probably just I suppose with the Salah-Son conundrum, it's not going to be people's biggest dilemma going into this week. Gents, thank you both so much. Neil, anything you want to plug before you go?
No, nothing from me.
And for yourself, Dan?
No, nothing for me, thanks.
Stars to both of you. Thank you both so much, gents, and very best of luck. I'll be streaming tomorrow, my Ask James stream. If you've got any questions for me, scheduled for 3 p.m. YouTube before I go to White Hart Lane and probably get knocked out of the FA Cup unceremoniously by Burnley. Next week's Clash correspondence will be Chelsea versus Fulham with Gary Mantle and Dara Curran. That's going to be scheduled to be out for you on Monday next week. So different day for COTC next week. But just leaves me to say thanks again so much to Neil and Dan. Good luck, gents. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.